This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, we're going to give that another shot and try and get a little more energy behind that. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Rejoice.
Oh, man, and I don't know who over here was loud, but man, that all came together and something over here was loud and powerful. That's what we need to do. We need to rejoice and be thankful. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. And when we say we will, that's an option. And as Christ followers, we have options to rejoice, to choose to rejoice or not. Amen? Acts chapter 1, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and we're going to read through this. And it says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." Remember, this is after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, gave many proofs, convincing others that he was alive. "And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, it says, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command." And this is in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. It says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus had responded to them, and he said, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them, it hid him from their sight. And they were looking up intently into the sky to see where he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? The same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go up into heaven." Now Jesus told the disciples, "Wait here, I'm going up." And I know many of us have probably asked before and said, "He was 33 years old, why so young? Why must he go up, and why now?" He had to go up, and we'll read about that briefly in a later scripture, because it was part of God's plan for him to go up, so that the Holy Spirit, he had to ascend so the Holy Spirit could descend down on earth. The disciples were confused at that. And so for 40 days, they're hanging out, and they're staying basically behind some locked doors, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. He's already been crucified. So we've had the crucifixion. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. We've had the resurrection. And now we have the ascension into heaven. By the way, many other religions, they may claim certain things, but none of them can claim this. Amen? None of them can claim a crucifixion and a resurrection and the same type of ascension. So now he ascends up into heaven. Acts chapter 2. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. We'll skip a little bit. In the meantime, they were deciding to find a disciple to replace Judas. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Well, let's just start in verse 1. Why leave that one out? "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." It's important to note. They were all together. It says, "Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them." It's important to note, it came to rest on each one of them. "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So now they're all speaking in tongues, and they're speaking in different tongues and different languages, but they understood the language being spoken. And what did the other people do? Look, they're drunk. Peter, being a wise man, said, how could we be drunk? It's only 9 a.m. That, I guess, was a good thing back then. They wouldn't be drunk before 9 a.m. apparently. But some thought, hey, with what's going on, they've got to be drunk. That's crazy stuff that's happening right there. But Peter said, no. We're not drunk. And Peter said, hey, not only are we not drunk, but hey, we just have to explain what happened here. And he said, this is what the prophet Joel said. In verse 17 of Acts chapter 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, the signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a powerful thing. So let's press on a little bit after we read that. Oh, and by the way, as they were sitting around waiting for this to happen, it was 40 days. I got to say that the apostles were kind of hanging out going, well, they took Jesus. He just told us to wait. Day number 5. By August. Day number 10. Day 15. Are you sure he was sending something? We're supposed to wait here. Day 22. Day 29. Day 32. It's been a month. How long is this going to take? Oh, by the way, don't ask Moses and his people how long it may take. Days. And then it happened. And then came in this powerful blowing wind. And the Holy Spirit descended on that place. Once the Holy Spirit descended on them, they were filled with joy and with boldness. That kind of hanging out and waiting, that was gone. Now the Holy Spirit showed up. It gave them energy, it gave them boldness, and it gave them joy. Let's try this again and see how it works. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Filled with joy. It's a choice. And they were filled with joy when the Holy Spirit came down into their place where they were waiting. Now verse 41 of Acts chapter 2 says about 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. That's some powerful preaching. Powerful, effective preaching. So Pentecost Sunday was last Sunday. Adam, why are you still preaching on it? Because I'm excited to know what happened after Pentecost. Now what? Now historically, Pentecost is not going to come again. It will not be repeated, right? But personally, oh, by the way, message title for today, have you experienced a personal Pentecost? Have you experienced a personal Pentecost? Historically, we'll never see Pentecost again. That day came and it's gone. We celebrate it each year, as Eric said last week, as the birth of the church. But personally, Pentecost can and should be repeated. Adam, what do you mean? Listen. When we allow the Spirit of God to take His rightful place in our lives, there will be change. There will be vitality. There will be boldness. There will be power. There will be energy. Not man-made energy. We could all stand here and start chanting, thunder, thunder, you know, something like that that happens in the arena. That's man-made energy. And it's powerful nonetheless. But we're talking Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit energy. Holy Spirit boldness and vitality. When we talk about rest, Jesus Christ can give us rest. He is the Prince of Peace. He can give us peace. Not the kind that sleeping can give us. Not the kind that being quiet or being nice to others can give us. The kind that only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But we have to give the Holy Spirit the rightful place in our lives in order for this stuff to happen. Amen? Wow, okay. You listen up then, because we didn't get a whole lot of amens. We have to give the Holy Spirit His rightful place in our lives for these things to happen. The day of Pentecost affected the disciples. And a personal Pentecost in our lives will affect us. And here's the effect it had on the disciples. Here's the effect it'll have on us. We're going to look at three areas. It will change your mind. A personal Pentecost will change your mind. It will change your thinking. It will change your focus. You will be moved from a self-centered individual to a Christ-centered individual. I need to do this. It's not about me. I don't want to do this. It's about Christ. I don't know about those two young boys. They may not have wanted to hold trash cans around, but it was doing it as a servant of Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to pick that stuff up. So thank you for that. Learning that stuff as young men and as older young men back there in the back and women, that's important. That's important that we understand, no matter what age, I don't care if you are a preteen or a teenager. Look at David. Okay? When you think life is all about you, you're wrong. And the sooner you learn it, the better. But if you learn it in church, that'll be great, because we're going to tell you what's more important, and that's being Christ-centered and serving Jesus Christ. It will change your mind when you give the Holy Spirit His rightful place in your life. Number two, it will change your heart. It will change your heart. Acts chapter 15, I hope I saved it here. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. And it said, God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for He purified their hearts by faith. The Holy Spirit having His rightful place in your life will change your heart. We need to be refreshed and renewed and cleansed and purified by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Bitterness, rebellion, hatred, rage will weaken and disappear with and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the power of a Spirit-filled life many times, but we have to make sure that when we talk about a Spirit-filled life, we're also talking about the purity of a Spirit-filled life. And that comes through the heart change as well. Number three, it will change your speech. It will change your speech. It will give you boldness in speaking. He says, the Holy Spirit, don't worry about what you have to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the things to say. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance as well. Church, there's power in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a written thing. It's a proven thing time and time again. It's a thing that people can see and witness. But again, as we talk about the power of a Spirit-filled life, let's make sure that we also, if we're experiencing that, we're looking at the purity of a Spirit-filled life as well. But it will change your speech. After the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, you couldn't shut them up. You couldn't shut them up. They're drunk. No, they're not. It's not 9 a.m., goes Peter. He starts speaking right out of the gate. Oh, and then after I clarify the drunkenness thing, let me tell you what the prophet Joel said. Here's what he said. I will show wonders in the heavens. And he quotes the prophet Joel. They were sent to jail. They were beaten. The only thing that could shut up the disciples was death. Now, death couldn't contain our Savior. Death couldn't hold Jesus Christ. But for the disciples, that was the only thing that was going to keep them quiet. Now, for us, man, I hope and pray that we can speak with that same boldness. I hope we can speak with that same energy. Now, it goes back to what I said a few weeks ago. We have to have the knowledge of what this says. And then once we read it and have the knowledge of it, we have to have the understanding of this. And then once we understand it, then we have to have the wisdom of how to use this. And the discernment of how and when to use this. And who is this for? God, you've given me a word. Is it for everyone? Or is it for this individual? Or is it for this group? It's not just going about and doing these things and saying, now what? Man, let me go through and let me tell everybody all about this. It's bigger than that. I've learned it. Now let me understand it. Oh, let me search the wisdom on how and when to use it, which ties in with discernment. But if we could speak with the boldness that the disciples did, and if we were willing to die with that boldness rather than deny Jesus Christ by our silence, that would speak volumes. You know, we all like to be approved and liked and wanted and desired. But Jesus said, man, it's bigger than that. See, that goes back into self-centeredness. There may be things that Pastor Eric or myself say up here, and it's not popular. It may not sit well. It may not sit well with an individual or a group or something. But man, if we've consulted with God and He's given us to preach that and talk that, we're safe. We're safe, brother. Now, we want to do it with wisdom and discernment and a spirit of love and gentleness, of course. But, man, it's God's Word. If it lines up, it lines up. Now, let me be careful to say, when we talk about these things, we talk about it will change your mind and your heart and your speech. It means it's changing your thoughts and what you think. It's changing your heart and what you feel. And then it goes into your speech and what you say and what you speak. These three things will not happen through salvation necessarily. I mean, hopefully salvation brings about change in your life. But I'm talking about the deeper change that's day in and day out, that doesn't wear down, that doesn't wear out. I'm talking about the type that keeps a 90-year-old person in church still serving the Lord. That kind of change. Not the 3 months later they've petered out from an experience with Jesus Christ and said, oh, it's too hard to change. Oh, school's back in session. Time to go back to the old ways. Those three things will not happen necessarily through salvation. They happen when we empty ourselves out. Church, it is difficult to empty ourselves out. To our younger, yeah, Tim, if you'll duck, yeah, our younger folks, yes, our young folks. By the way, Aiden asked me this morning, she said, when can I be baptized? I said, when you've had that conversation with the family, and when they let me know it's time, and she said, and then when I'm baptized, can I do that? Have communion, yes. Great, great question. Is that real wine? No, good, because I don't like it. I said, me neither. Okay, but I love when she's excited about being baptized. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute, Aiden, for just a moment. Baptism. So, Tim, back to our younger people back there and over here. A couple down there. No offense to the rest of us, okay? But when you can have that life change at an early age, it is so much easier. Now I say that. I can remember a teenager standing up here before saying, man, you don't know how tough it is. Walking through the halls at school and what people say about you. and what you've got to put up with. And I thought, so it's easy to stand up here and say, it's so much easier. And by that, I just mean it's easier because you don't have years of the stuff that people like me, my age, have poured into myself about myself and try and empty it out then. But I understand it's a difficult road and it's a difficult path. Oh, we've got some young people back there, yeah. It's a difficult road and path, and I know that. And I've never forgotten that statement when that young lady said that. You see, you think you have it easy, but at school it's tougher than you can imagine these days. And it is. But when we empty ourselves out so that we can now be filled with the Holy Spirit, giving Him the right place in our lives. It's the same thing in salvation, that we have to give ourselves over to Jesus Christ. We have to accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life. But we can do that just like that. And we can do that from being in the bottom of the barrel. So long as we're down there and we reach out and we call out, we can make that change where we are, in the midst of our mud puddle. Verse 21 of chapter 2, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can do that where you are. You don't have to clean up your life to call on Jesus Christ. Now, we'll expect those changes to come. We'll expect the mind change and the heart change and the speech to be changed. But you can be changed where you are. Or you can call Him into your life, and then we expect a change to happen. And there are things that we need to do as a church body to support those that have gone through that change. But these changes are possibly the same thing, but go deeper. These go into a deeper life change. Until we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not equipped. Until we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are not equipped to do the full and proper work of the Lord. It's that simple. We can do the work of the Lord and not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're not doing the full and as effective work and the proper work of the Lord until or unless the Holy Spirit, you've allowed Him to fill your life. We must obtain a passionate desire to be filled so that we can be used properly. Now that's a tough thing. We have to find some way to create a desire within ourselves and a passionate desire to be filled. I don't know, Adam, my schedule's pretty dang busy. I'm kind of passionate about this. I want to do it, but I'm busy, and then I'm just tired after that. I get it. But Jesus said, man, I just require you to serve me and submit to me and commit to me and be obedient to me. We have to find a way to obtain a passionate desire to be filled by the Holy Spirit and be used. I'll close with this as the band comes up. In Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, and it says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The message after Pentecost for the disciples was pretty simple. Be saved. Constantly through Acts. Be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Aiden, be baptized. It says be baptized once you're saved. Oh, and by the way, it throws in the midst of that, repent. Now let me ask you guys, as we talk about being saved and salvation and being baptized and repenting, if you are missing one of those three or any of those three, man, I'd love for you to talk to Pastor Eric or myself about any one of those three. Well, repenting, I ask God to forgive me. Repenting is slightly different. Okay? But if you're missing one of those three, talk to Eric or myself or someone you trust. Joyce Meyer said this. She said, "Don't be afraid of change because it's leading you to a new beginning." The disciples faced this at Pentecost. Oh my gosh, this change has come about. Now what? It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today that even though the day of Pentecost historically has come and gone, that we can experience a personal Pentecost in our lives. Lord, that we can have our heart changed and our mind changed. Lord, that we can have our speech changed. Lord, I pray for those that are missing that experience, that they just take a moment to pray for that personal Pentecost in their life. That we all have a chance to experience that change that the Holy Spirit brings. Lord, that our church can be filled with those filled with the Holy Spirit. That we can have effective work. Work that is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.